Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. July hard red winter wheat is 746, down 5 3/4. Soft July, 654.5, down 4 3/4. Now it's down 5. July corn, 476 3/4, unchanged. September, 474 1/4, up 1/4. December, 474 1/4, up 3/4. July soybeans, 1514 3/4, down 4. September, 1319 1/2, down 7 3/4. November, 1262 3/4, down 8. July soybean meal, 501.30, down 20 cents. July soybean oil, 40.63, down 23. June live cattle, 137.15, down 45. August feeder cattle, 194.32 1/2, now 25, down 112 1/2. And June lean hogs, 116.55, down 105.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Memorial Day, Decoration Day to you and all those listening. Honoring our military is pretty important this weekend. I hope everybody does it.
It is indeed a very important thing to do and to remember. Let's look at the markets, and let's begin with the July soybeans, which had punched new contract highs yesterday, but couldn't finish above the previous contract high, and it backed off a little bit today. Generally, wouldn't be too concerned about it, but we have a three-day weekend ahead of us.
I think that's a big key to what is in play today, Dave, as well as the fact that we did fill a gap in the lead month weekly bean complex. That chart had a gap of from about July 12th of last year at 1534 1/2, and I think between that and the three-day holiday and the issue that the spreads are kind of getting maxed out, in my opinion, the bean corn spread, the bean wheat spread, the meal bean oil spread, those are all getting to levels I think probably need to have some support. In other words, if the beans and the meal want to go higher here before the holiday, I think your wheat and your corn are going to need to find some short covering. And I think this is where the market landscape is not unlike what we're seeing in the livestock market. Not a lot of bearish news out there in the hogs and in the cattle, but because of the seasonals, because of the three-day holiday, and because of fund liquidation pressure, we've seen the livestock markets break this week, kind of counter to the fundamentals. I think this is where the grains may be in preparation for doing something kind of similar. In other words, the beans, not necessarily the wheat and the corn.
Yeah, I think a little profit-taking going on over on the livestock side. I think about coming back next week, though, and I just don't think that old crop soybeans upside story is done yet.
No, and I think that goes back to the meal market. I mean, if you look at Indiana meal at 45 to 48 over the July, Illinois meal and Decatur is running 45 to 48 over the July, the exact same price as the Gulf meal. And then you look at the Gulf meal that's for the August delivery is $75 over the August. You're essentially saying whether you're in the middle of Indiana, Illinois, or down at the Gulf of Mexico, your meal price is $550 a ton, and your Chicago Board of Trade or Mercantile Exchange price is about $50 less than that. And so between that and the function of the export sales showing that year-to-date bean commitments are running almost 1.65 billion bushels, compared to 1.6 billion for USDA's expectations, and you still have 15 to 16 weeks left in the marketing year, I think you've got an issue where you do need to keep prices elevated enough to attract imports. And I think that's what the market's trying to figure out is, are we getting enough boats? into this United States Gulf of Mexico and into Wilmington to be able to offset what the crusher in the Midwest really needs for the next 3 months.
And I think the answer to that question is, at least to date, no.
No, that's exactly right, because we haven't seen the Chinese cancellations and we haven't seen the exports be canceled as well. And I think those two things have to happen at this point. So this goes back to your question, are we running out of time? We were running out of time 2 months ago on a USDA report, and the USDA kept raising imports, saying essentially Chinese cancellations are coming, Brazilian beans are coming, Argentine meal is coming, and those three things really haven't materialized. And so you are in crunch time, because essentially the USDA says you have 14 days of supply. You're using about 9.3 million bushels of beans a day. You have about a 14-day supply on USDA's report, but I think the market's coming to the realization, because of the meal and the fact that the end user in the meal is covered, but the crusher's probably not, you probably only have about a 10- to 11-day supply now.
Yeah, the crusher's really in a hurt, because they promised to deliver, and they don't have no product to crush.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, this is not just an Illinois-Indiana story. There was a Newswire story yesterday that a Minnesota processor said, we don't know if we're going to get the beans. And from what I found out through the livestock clients that I work with, who have talked to their crushers, they've essentially said, generally speaking, if we can't get the beans, we'll just shut down. Well, what does that do? That drives prices higher to try and encourage those imports again.
Okay, let's look at the corn market. Some encouragement about the hook reversal in December. I don't think it's the start of a rally back upwards by any means, but at least the bleeding may be stopping for a while.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the corn spread, the corn stochastics, your hook reversal you're talking about, all looking friendly going into the three-day holiday weekend. The basis is coming up in Decatur, coming up in other ethanol processing plants around the country, but guess what? We don't have that wheat market underneath us. In fact, we saw the hard red wheat make a new one-month low today. We've gone below the 38% retracement in hard red wheat. Now the next support's the 50%, which is another 25 cents lower. And so you're essentially at the mercy of the wheat market in the corn trade, especially with the weather looking like it's coming around. Now, the key number is going to be that 100-day moving average in the Dease corn, I think, Dave, and that's right around that 477 area.
All right. So we've touched on all the markets. Let's go back and put on our hedger hat and say, if we need to make some marketings, where do we do it? What makes sense?
Well, I think you keep your livestock hedgers hedged up on the meal market for the next 30 days, but I think you can go ahead and start hedging some more and replace some hedges that, you know, were lifted last week and earlier this week in the new crop beans, because that 1275 target has been hit. Yes, you could stretch it to 13 plus, but you're getting into a seasonal time period now where last year's bean market rallied for most of the month of May, but then kind of topped out in June. So keep in mind that seasonal play is at hand. For the beans, I think that covers the story. For the corn, I guess I'm just going to have to wait until we harvest. I guess what I'm thinking now at this point, Dave, is that the hard red wheat yields are not there. The market thinks it is. They think the Ukrainian election this Sunday is going to go well. I don't think it will. And so I think we're sitting with a potential low in the wheat coming here in the next couple weeks, and the corn's just going to have to wait for it at this point.
Okay, so let me ask you then, does it make sense in these soybean hedges to continue to leave the upside open? Would you pay the extra options to do that?
I think you cannot do too many short calls to pay for bought puts, because you can do some, I think, but you can't do too many, because your implied volatility on November bean calls right now are only 25%. That's historically low, and granted, the historic volatility is low in the equities markets, so that has something to do with it. But by the same token, if you really had a historic 2004-type mindset develop here where we physically think we're going to run out of meal, that 25% implied volatility is not going to protect you very well in that situation. So my take is if you've got good bean stands, and that's a big if, because a lot of producers I've talked to yesterday and today in Illinois and Indiana and in your listening area essentially are going to be busy this weekend replanting beans. So if you got a good bean stand, then maybe you can do a little bit more cash selling. But my vote is stick with the puts and be careful with the short calls.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. July corn, 476 and three quarters, unchanged. September's 474 and three quarters, up a quarter. December, 474 and a half, up one. July soybeans, 1515 and a quarter, down 3.5, now 3 3/4. November are 1263 and a half, down 7 1/4. July soybean meal, $501, down 50 cents. July soybean oil, $40.64, down 22. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.